Good evening. Let's begin 270 in your hymnals. Page 270. He hideth my soul. Let's all stand, shall we? Page 270.
A wonderful Savior in Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
270 on the last.
When cold is this brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Let's shout again, because that was... That needs to be redone.
That needs to be redone?
Yeah.
Only if you promise a shout.
Here, give me a minute.
270.
Oh, okay.
I'm there. I'm there. All right. Last verse again. 270.
When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Amen. It was okay. You know what? I know why you're having trouble. Because it's cold. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can gather in your house tonight. Thank you that you're the same God that was here on Sunday. And you're the same God all the time, everywhere. We know that. So we're praying that you'll work in our hearts tonight. Work in the teens. I pray that they will be challenged to live like they should. And if there's a teenager over there that's not saved, I pray they'll get saved. Lord, we need that power. We need that touch. And we realize when we come that there's so much that you can do. And it's Wednesday, and we kind of minimize Wednesday, and I don't want to do that, Lord. I want you to just work like you want to work, and that we'll expect you to work because we need you to work. Thank you. Help us in all that we do. As we sing, as we pray, all that we do, God, we want it to glorify you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated.
Somebody has a birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday to Pastor.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pastor. Happy birthday to you.
Everybody's been showering you with gifts and cards.
Yep.
It's almost like they love you.
Almost.
Next song. Page 420, Day by Day. Page 420.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowal, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he thinks best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure, is a charge that on himself my strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust my promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation offered me.
Honored, the Vanderhoofs are here tonight, our missionaries to Germany. So when you see that big, fancy, expensive RV sitting next to the youth building, that's our poor missionary. You know, I'm kidding. But they are using the facilities and they're kind of busy, but they're here tonight. So we want Don to give you an update of what they're doing. Were you here when we took him on? Who was here when we took him on? Some of you were, right? He just got through mad cow disease, right? That was right after mad cow. And then, I'm serious, he wrote a book. Do you have any books? He's got books. If you want one of his books, $49.95. Split. Okay. Yeah, I think they should read. Come up. He's going to come up, give an update.
Well, it's nice to see you. It's nice to be here. And thank you again for your hospitality. We're grateful for it. And this is like a second home church for us. Matter of fact, it's probably the only home church we really feel at home at, apart from one in South Carolina that also supports us. That would be Fellowship Baptist Church. Rick Pardee is the pastor. We are on a second half of our furlough. 2 years ago, or a little over 2 years ago, we did the first half, and we have 38 churches, and you just can't do it all at one time. So we split it in half, and we were here the last time. But this is a place for us to land. It's an oasis. It is a cleft in the rock for us in furlough travels, and we thank you for that. We'll be in Marion, Lord willing, Sunday, and then we have two churches in Indianapolis, and then we have a church in North Liberty where she started. Her family helped start that church, First Baptist Church of North Liberty, and that is our last meeting for furlough, and this is our very last furlough. We will be retiring from the field next year in March. By the end of March, we will be back in the States, in Greenville, South Carolina, because my parents are aging. They have health needs that will not get better. Dad has congestive heart failure. Mom has a lung disease that's scarring her lung tissue. And there's some other things going on with both of them. And it's come to the time where they are needing us near them. And it'll be an honor to support them and help them in their agedness. Both of them are in their 90s. Dad just turned 90 in August 16th. August 20th, they celebrated their 70th wedding anniversary. And they are happy to have us come back. They would never have asked it. But my dad jumped for joy, and my mother cried when they learned. And so we want to say thank you for your support. Again, we're on a furlough. Our furlough will end at the end of this year, and then we will return in January. We have some towns to finish canvassing. We'll be packing up our home and moving back, Lord willing, in March. So at the end of March, we will no longer be serving on the foreign mission field, but serving in the United States, helping my parents. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. And the books will be back there. They're for free. Okay.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Commendable to take care of your parents. He needs to be there. Germany needs him. But his parents need him too. So we understand. We hate to hear that, but we need to pray. Right? Pray ye the Lord of the harvest. There's others that need to go. Maybe I'll go. I don't want to learn German though. Can I just talk Italian? Hey, you Germans, get your heart right. If you have your bulletin, we need to scratch. Debbie Berkey said they have plenty of food for Awana for now. So keep it or eat it. Jail tomorrow night. If you're interested, see Roger. Pray for those that do that minister. Of course, you saw the shoe boxes back there. There's a note about that. The ladies' conference is on the bulletin board in Scott, Michigan. If you're a lady and you have any, or you identify as a woman, just trying to make things interesting. You have your prayer list. Would you grab that, and we're going to have prayer over that?
Pastor, I talked to John Sheets today.
Yes.
He is going in tomorrow to have some more shots in his spine. He's had it done twice so far, looking for relief for his back pain.
Okay.
So we might be in prayer about that.
Okay. He's not on here, right?
No. Not.
How about put John on there? John Sheets? Back. If you can put what you want, I'm going to put back pain. Sherry, do you have an update on April Riffle? Current that we may not have, still in the hospital?
No, she's not in the hospital. She's at home. They're wanting her to go to a hospital that's very close to her. So the first hospital that she went to, does
everybody know what her situation is? No, you go ahead and explain a little bit.
April Riffle fell about 3 weeks ago now, and
but she's home. Wow, amen. Okay. April Riffle, Mike and April to Japan, our missionaries to Japan. And she's young, right? That's old. That's young. That's too young. So pray. You see that? Pray for that. Shelley Paling is having surgery on the 20th. Ron is doing well. Ron Ritter is not doing that well. So would you, they did some things and he thought he would do better. He's actually doing worse. And I say that not because I want to be CNN, give you bad news, but just pray. Pray that God will, I mean, I'm thankful for doctors and hospitals, but they're people. They practice medicine. And as you all are thinking on us. Bernadette's coming along. Ron's brother had surgery on his carotid arteries. And then that 11-3 is surgery for the open heart. 11-3. That is Ron's twin brother, Don. So keep praying about that. Of course, missionary of the week should be the Vanderhoofs since they're here, but we don't orchestrate that very well. But you pray for them too. But missionary of the week is the Holmes to Mexico. Pastor is Sam Brown's pastor. I don't want him. This guy stuck with him, Guy Solaric, so pray hard for Guy. He tries to pastor Sam Brown. I'm kidding. Some of you are in a weird mood. It's just going to get worse, so you might as well just cheer up. Then that way you won't have so far to fall. Pray with me, would you? Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight because the Bible says if we ask anything in your name, you said that God will hear. And I come tonight in the name of Jesus. He's why I'm going to heaven. I've trusted him. I know that he died for me. I know there's nothing I could do. I know that he, on the cross, paid for my sin. And I believe that. And I have that assurance. So based upon what I've become, your child, God, I come to you. Not on my own strength or power or merit, but because of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, for these that we've mentioned. John mentioned John Sheets. We pray for relief in his back, that the shots will help, that they'll give him exactly what he needs, that they'll do it exactly how they should. And Lord, more than that, we want to trust you for that. We pray for Ron Ritter. We hate to hear that he's struggling, but we know that you can answer prayer. We know you have a reason. We struggle with his struggle because we know you love us and we know you have a reason. And I know that Ron is more than willing to be obedient to you in any way. And he serves you and he loves you. So please, Lord, heal him. We're asking you for healing in his body. We're praying for his brother. We're praying for Don that the surgery he had on his carotid artery, that would be successful. And as he gets closer to the open heart surgery, we pray if you would choose to, that you would make that unnecessary, that you would heal his heart. We know you can. Often we don't hear about that. That's miraculous. But Lord, we expect you to be God. We ask you to be God. And we pray that you would work in him, give him strength and peace and his wife. We pray, Lord, for Shelley Paling as she will soon have knee replacement. Bless that surgery. Thank you for Bernadette, for Ron Armstead as they are at home recovering. And we ask you, Lord, to give them patience and complete healing. I pray for April Riffle that they would figure out what's going on. And Lord, as they try to help her, we're calling upon you, God. I read this week that people that were sick, if the shadow of Peter went across them, they were well. And that wasn't Peter, that was you. And I'm praying that you would give healing to these folks that need healing. And there's many on this list that are struggling with cancer. There are those on this list, God, the biggest need are those people that are not born again, that need to be saved. We pray that they would have the opportunity, that someone would talk to them, that they'd read a tract. Somehow they would get the gospel and that they would turn to you. Lord, we pray for the homes that they would have power and strength as they minister in Mexico, that they would have good health, that they would have encouragement and zeal. Lord, thank you for Guy Solaric in Indianapolis. Use him, bless him, bless Sam in his studies. I know he's having midterms this week. Be with him as he takes his midterms. Be with him as he serves in that church. Thank you, Lord, for the Vanderhoofs. Thank you that you have led them to make a decision to care for his parents. And I pray that as they finish up here, you'd give them safety, cause this second half of their furlough to be fruitful, and cause the remaining time as they go back to Germany, I pray that would be extremely fruitful, and then send them, God, away from there and back home and use them however you can in their church. And thank you that they're a blessing and they serve you and they are faithful. Bless their health, that they would have good health and strength. Thank you for this night. Thank you that we can come together. Thank you, God, that we can pray. And if we're not going to pray when we leave here, then, Lord, something's wrong. You made it very clear that we ought to always pray, continue in prayer, pray without ceasing. May that be our desire, to pray, to see you work, to get your answers. God, you said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Bless our country, God. Our country needs you. Our country needs God. Our country needs Christians to be on fire. Our country needs Christians to be the salt and the light. And our country needs the gospel clear and plain. We need preachers to be bold. We need revival in our country. We need our politicians to be born again if they're not. They need, Lord, to get the fear of God, I pray. Lord, I pray down the fear of God on our government, that they would lead, that they would serve in the fear of God. Thank you, Lord, for a great country. But now, help our president. Help our president to know you if he doesn't. And if he does, that he'll talk about you, that he'll promote you. Thank you that we see little signs of that. But Lord, I pray he and others would be more bold. Lord, we need the boldness of a lion. May we, in these days, whether they're the last days or not, they're the days you've given us, may we use them to be effective while we're here. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. The ushers are going to come if you want to give. give. If not, take something out. We'll let God deal with you. Harry, you can't do that. And don't look in there. If you're not putting anything and not taking out, don't look in there. Don't you try to guess who gives what. Maybe we should do the hallelujah thing. If they put in a 10, say hallelujah. They put in a 20, say praise the Lord. If they don't put anything in, shame on you. Say that, shame. I know there are people watching. Becky Bodie texts, they are in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, on their way to Florida. And she said, we're going to be watching by live stream. Okay. We need a big screen on the back wall so I can see everybody that's watching us. It'll be more personal, right? Smile. It's okay. Smile. We're going to get through this. We're going to be out of here before midnight. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that there's a joy that you give and a gladness the world can't give. They don't know anything about it. They don't know anything about your peace. They don't know anything about the joy that you said no man can take from you. You said it's not as the world gives. Thank you that we can rejoice in the Lord always. Thank you for this night. Thank you, me and your house, sing, be together. Challenge our hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Again. Yeah, do it. 412 in your hymnals, revive us again. Let's all stand. 412. Pastor?
Theologically, it is not amen. You in the wrong church. It's not amen. Acts chapter 4. Often my wife worries about what I'm going to say. Tonight would be one of those nights. What better time than on the Wednesday? I know that we're still broadcasting all across the world, but some things need to be brought out. Acts chapter 4. We're going to be in that chapter, the end of it. We're going to read into Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Acts 4 in the 31st verse, if you're there. Pentecost has happened. The man at the gate's been healed. The religious rulers are upset with what's happening. It's all good, and they're upset. Isn't it amazing? All that's going on, we are living, when Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, perilous times, truce breakers, traitors, all that has to do with what's happening right now, we would call it lawless. We are living in a very law. People don't want to follow the law. The government's trying to follow the law, and you've got people out there saying, we're against that. Why don't we deport them also? Man, if you interfere, you should not go to jail. You should be deported. Say, you really mean that? Yes, I mean that. We're living. How can this not be those times? They're upset. Acts chapter 4. We don't want you to mention that name. It's okay to say God, isn't it? In fact, in Dearborn, Michigan, is it five times a day? They call the Muslims to prayer. And people are complaining. We drove through Dearborn a couple weeks ago, and everything is in their language. We didn't hear the music go off. That's perilous times. They hate our God. These religious leaders are saying, no more. So Peter didn't hesitate, of course. We talked about this. Neither is there salvation in any other. And you and I should believe that. And we should preach that and say that. Verse 31 of chapter 4. They have just prayed that God would give them boldness. Verse 29. They said, we need, despite their threatenings, we need to speak thy word. They mention his name again in verse 30 by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, man, I love this verse. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Don't you love it when God answers like that? You say, I'm really not familiar with that. Isn't that unfortunate? We're not. He answered like that. Was it Sunday night when the lights went off? He's trying to get your attention. Verse 31. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. When they prayed, we need boldness, God said, yeah, that's what I want you to have. So he gave it. Verse 32. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that had aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. They took care of each other. Verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither, verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. You know, it doesn't say it, but you see it, don't you? Can't you kind of hear it? They're genuine. That's what Jesus would do. And Joseph, verse 36, Joseph, we know him as Barnabas. Verse 37, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Sacrifice. Sincere. I would add the word excellent. Chapter 5, verse 1. Notice how it begins. Everything's going good. Hey, remember? They're one mind, one soul. Verse 1, chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife. Ananias means favored. Sapphira, of course, means like sapphire, a gem. Doesn't matter what your name is, you can still make dumb decisions. I skipped school one time, just first hour. I was dating a different girl, it was my first wife, and I took her to school, to Penn, and I was at LaSalle, because that's what you did. It was the 70s. I drove all the way over to Mishawaka, picked her up, took her to Penn, took her to first hour. I knew I could miss first hour. It was history. I knew that I know everything there is to know, so I knew I could miss history, get back for second hour, which was shop. And so I'm walking down the hallway. Everybody's in class, and this voice says, "Young man." And I turn around. I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Are you supposed to be in class?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Come here." That was a big school then. He said, "I know every student in this school." I'm thinking, that's the biggest lie I've ever heard. He said, "I know every student in this school, and I know you're not a student here." Wow. I said, "Yeah, but I'm on my way to class." He said, "Where do you go to school?" I said, "LaSalle." He said, "LaSalle? What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, my girlfriend needed a ride." Needed. So I dropped off. I'm on my way. He said, "What's your name?" I said, "I'm on my way. That doesn't matter." He said, "What is your name?" I said, "Vito Rulli." He said, "I'm sure your grandfather will be glad to know that I met you when we fished together on Wednesday." I said, "Are you Mr. Quimby?" He goes, "Now you've met me officially." I hesitated to go back to the barbershop that day after school because my grandpa was there. Finally, I walked in. You know, parents are so sneaky. They get it from their parents. So my grandpa looks at me. He goes, "Vito Angel, you go to school today?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Really?" I go, "Grandpa, yeah." He said, "Do you go late?" Thinking, oh no, he's talked to Quimby. And I go, "Grandpa, I skipped first hour. I took my girlfriend to class, and I ran into Mr. Quimby." He said, "I know you did. He called me." He looks at me, my grandpa, and he goes, "You know what your name is?" I said, "Vito." He goes, "Rulli." He said, "What you do makes me look bad." I'll never forget that. Ananias and Sapphira wanted to look good. They didn't want to be good. They didn't want to act good. They wanted to listen. They wanted to appear to be good. But, verse 1, a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira with a wife sold possession and kept back, verse 2, kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it. See that? It's a plan. Wasn't an accident. They planned it. His wife being a privy to it and brought a certain part, laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" Remember, they just prayed and the place was shaken. And now you've got two rascals in the church trying to look good over what? Money. Paul was right when he told Timothy, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Here they are trying to look good, trying to look better than they are. Verse 4, Peter told them, he said, while it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Ananias, I don't know what you feel when you read this. Every time I read this, I just feel something in my stomach. I feel a couple of things. I feel, why would God do that? Not a big, they didn't need money. You know, it wasn't like everybody's broke. Everybody, they had everything they needed. Everybody was doing their part. And here's a guy and his wife that cheated. I'm sorry, this is human reason. They cheated a little bit, and then God gets that upset. Look at verse 5. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. As far as we know, everybody else did it right. Tell you what, you see it? God hates sin. Hates them all. Hates the little ones. Hates the big ones. Verse 6, the young man arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. No viewing. No funeral dinner. Hey? Get rid of him. Buried him. It says about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, Peter answered unto verse 8, Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Agreed together. That means that they were in perfect harmony when it came to cheating God. Can I ask you a question? I know it's Wednesday night. I know you've had a hard week. Could they have agreed together to give it all to God? They went through a lot of trouble, didn't they? To appear to be better. Verse 10, then fell she down straightway at his feet. Can you imagine being in that church service? Well, it'd be a long time that you'd talk about that. Wouldn't you come in and feel weird? Like that they were laying right there. Right? That's where it happened. Wouldn't you kind of avoid that area? Just in case? But obviously when it says it, great fear, that was God's intention. I don't know how to spell it, but he wanted to scare the bejeebus out of them. He didn't want them to think that they could do that. Verse 11, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. One of the things that you and I are going to wrestle with, we don't wrestle with so much, we do, but we don't wrestle so much. I don't struggle anymore with rock and roll music. I hear it and I think, man, they were playing that 50 years ago. I don't stop, drop everything, and dance. I'm shocked that it's still around. I don't struggle with pot or pills or cigarettes or booze. But I do have this struggle that Ananias and Sapphira had. Trying to appear to be better than I really am. rather than actually being genuine. Will you pray with me? Father, I'm asking you, I'm begging you to challenge us. I don't care who's here. I don't care how many are here. I don't care how many are not here. All I care about is doing what you want and that it would be effective. This isn't a crusade to get people saved. If someone's here not saved, I hope they'll hear enough of the gospel tonight to realize they need salvation. But there's a bunch of us here tonight that need to confront this thing of trying to be a little better. Ananias and Sapphira were just trying to be a little bit better. And it backfired, and what a mess. Help us to be as pure and godly and holy and righteous. Peter didn't say, man, you messed up. He said, you have lied to God. You didn't have to lie to God. Lord, show us that. Make that so clear to us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are a lot of ways I can remember. Here's where it's going to get kind of touchy. When I was a young boy, my mom would dress up often. I mean, gloves. She'd wear the big, long, white gloves. Hair in a great big beehive. The biggest earrings you've ever seen. I mean, jewelry, earrings, high heels that she couldn't walk in, that she'd complain about. But they looked good. They made her look taller. They made her look more formal. I remember one day in the laundry, there was something that just didn't look normal. I can remember asking my mom, Mom, what is that? And my mother used the G word. She said, that is a girdle. I said, what do you do with that? She said, it helps me to be able to fit into the dress I want to wear. I said, it doesn't look comfortable. I've never worn one. She said, oh, it's terrible. But yet, for appearance sake, she would squeeze into that thing. Those of us who are vertically challenged, when Amy and I were dating, I had platform shoes, heels that big. On the sole of the shoe, it had a big platform on it. They would make me appear to be taller. I came home one day from work. I had a date scheduled with Amy. I went into my closet, and my platform shoes were gone. I looked all around. All my clothes were there. My stereo's there. All my stuff is there. But someone broke in and just stole my platform shoes. I ran to my dad's room. Everything he owned was there. The refrigerator was there. The TV was there. But they broke in the house and they stole my platform shoes. I put on regular shoes and stood tall. I never said a thing. I got home that night. My dad was already in bed. I went in my closet, put my shoes away, and that crook who stole my platform shoes had returned them. I went in my dad's room. I said, hey, you sleeping? Not now. I go, did you wear my platform shoes? Oh, I borrowed them. I said, Dad, they're too big for you, and I needed them for my date with Amy. He said, I needed them. I had a date. Say, did he like your suit? Did he like the color? What did he like? He liked that they made him taller. He's shorter than I am. He's trying to be something he wasn't. I'm not saying these things are wrong. I'm not saying girdles are wrong. If you're sitting there and you've got one and you feel bad about it, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. If you've got platform shoes on and I don't have lifts in my shoes. I'm not saying they're wrong. Hey, if you color your hair, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not saying if you have a toupee, that's wrong. I would like to comment on that, but I won't. But it's not wrong. I was brought up, when I got saved, I didn't know much about a lot of things, but my pastor, when I was in school, Pastor Jones always used to say, brother, if the barn needs painting, paint it. I didn't know what he's talking about. But he's talking about makeup, a woman in makeup. And some women wear too much makeup. We don't want you, man, don't be offended. We don't want you to look like a giraffe. Big old foot-long eyelashes. I asked one time, she came and she's blinking and taking our order as a waitress. I said, can I ask you a question? She said, sure. I go, are those heavy? She said, yeah. I said, they're the biggest eyelashes I've ever seen. I mean, they're way out there, curled up. You could lay a garbage bag over it, you know, and keep someone dry. Why? To appear to look better. The list goes on, does it not? Botox. Plastic surgery. Amy will say, look at this picture. It'll be somebody famous or a movie star, and man, they just look like they've been in a wind tunnel. Everything's pulled back. Their lips are real big. I don't get that. I'm sorry. Hey, I don't get that. I mean, somebody told them, you ought to try to appear to look better by having your lips swollen. I don't get that. When you get to this story in Acts 5, as you approach that, you see something. You see that the church, as we know it, is thriving. God's working. The Holy Spirit is working. Man, the place, verse 31 in chapter 4, the place is shaking because of their prayers. The Spirit of God is working. The believers are one. There's great power. There's great grace. God provide, and he's providing, and others are pitching in. There's great, great, great power. They're giving. And when that happens, you know it, Brother Don, you know it. The devil works. When God works, the devil works. Just expect it. We'll get home on a Sunday night, and Amy will go, well, we're going to have a rough tomorrow. And I know what she means. Because we see God work, we're glad he works, but we know the devil hates it. But chapter 5 and verse 1 is making it clear that it's possible to look and not be so good. And that's the battle we're fighting. Talk spiritual. Come across as spiritual. I'm witness to a guy yesterday, and I'm reaching for a track, and I didn't have one. And I thought, man. He looked at me and goes, can I ask you a question? I go, yeah. He said, are you some kind? I had a sport coat on. I didn't have time. He goes, are you some kind of director of something? And I said, I mean, that director. And he goes, well, yeah, you're dressed. You look important. I said, I am. He said, well, what is it? He's very, very formal. Young kid, I mean, 16, maybe 18. He goes, well, what is it that you do? I said, well, have you ever seen these guys standing out asking for money? They're homeless. He just looks at me. I go, I get a lot of money doing that dress like this. He said, oh. I said, not really. So I'm reaching for a track, and man, I didn't have them. And he goes, well, can I ask? And I go, I'm a preacher. What kind? I said, the kind that preaches. I don't like saying minister because I could be a woman. He goes, well, that's interesting. What church? I said, in Lakeville. I said, do you know where that is? He goes, I make it my business to know a lot. Okay, man. I got to go. Satan is working. He's working now. He's working then. God's blessing. People are doing all they can do. But along comes this couple who allow the devil into their life. I wish he wasn't around. I wish God would just go ahead and cast him into hell now. Save me a lot of trouble. But this story is so obvious, and you've heard it. I've preached it. You've heard better. But the point of the story is that no matter what the sin that might be in your life, it's a big deal to God. You won't catch me committing big sins. I don't, thank God. I don't buy drugs. I hate going down the liquor aisle to get my coffee. I don't smoke cigarettes or cigars or pipes. I don't vape. I steam, but I don't vape. You'll get that later. The faith that you and I claim to have better change our habits and our behavior. There better be something about us that's real that we didn't do. Some change that's taken place that we didn't just self-will or through willpower make happen. If there's a question about anything that we do, we're not changed. Three things. Real quick, simple, just I want to give you something to think about. Number one, if we're going to do this, let's be biblical. What does the Bible say? Now, what does Charles Stanley say? What does David Jeremiah say? I heard him preach, good for you. What's the Bible say? I'm right. I mean, you could say it out loud if you want. You're attacking them. You're jealous. Maybe they're jealous of me. So are you saying they're not good men? I never said that. I said they're preaching the same book that you and I have. So if we're going to live, let's be biblical. Let's not just say we're biblical. We ought to be biblical all the time. What does the Bible say? Consistently, day in, day out, live what we believe. And we can't be. We can, but we shouldn't be a hypocrite. You remember when God told Samuel to go anoint the next king at Jesse's house? Remember when he got there? Remember when Samuel saw Eliab? 1 Samuel 16 and verse 6, it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Samuel says, this has to be God's choice. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height platform shoes. The height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Ananias and Sapphira wanted people to think more of them than they were. Peter tells them, you blew it. You didn't have to give anything, but now you've lied. Now you've gone into full-blown hypocrisy. You did it on purpose. And you lied to us, but you didn't lie to God. Wouldn't it be nice if I just called you every morning and said, I don't know how you're going to live, but however you live, God knows the truth. Or a text. Maybe I'll do that. Just to remind you, God sees the heart. Doesn't mean you shouldn't look good on the outside. It means he sees what's happening inside of you. They stole from God. They lied to the church. What does God do? He deals with them radically. Can you imagine if during church I said, God, please deal with every liar and hypocrite in this church right now. Would you be dead? Well, I don't lie that much. I'm not that much of a hypocrite. The world knows it when we're hypocrites. Be biblical. Number two, be spiritual. It didn't matter how much they gave or how much they kept. It mattered that they meant it. Peter said, what's a big show about? How come we have to make a show? Preachers are good at this, putting on a show. You know, they don't say God, they say God. I mean, you're not extra spiritual because you talk a certain way, walk a certain way, stand a certain way. Say brother a certain way. Brother. I'm around those guys, I start laughing. They go, what are you laughing about? I'll go, I can't tell you. I mean, just, hey, man, be who you are. God knows. God, that's why the world is so turned off. It's like we're in a performance. We're putting on a show. We read in this chapter that the Spirit of God is working. And he was working in the hearts of Ananias and Sapphira. And they chose to do something that they shouldn't do. They planned on it. Verse 9 tells us that they didn't just accidentally stumble into this, hey, what about? It was plotted. They put effort. Their purpose was to deceive. Does God have the right? Think about something. Could you a minute? Just give me a minute. Does God have the right to kill me instantly when I sin? John wrote, 1 John chapter 5, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. He says in verse 17, 1 John 5 and verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin and there's a sin not unto death. Wow. Is God justified when he takes the life of an Ananias and a Sapphira? Argue all you want. Once that happened, and once God killed Ananias, his wife came in, agreed to the same silliness, he killed her. The only thing I can think of, the only verse that comes to my mind is, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't talk about being spiritual. Be spiritual. Well, you know what I do? No, just be spiritual. And realize all sin is a big deal to God. Be biblical, be spiritual. Number three, be humble. Man, that. I don't know what I have to be proud about, but boy, I sure deal with it. So I have to die to it. I ask God, please God, help me. It's pride when we think we have to lie to look like how we want to look. Preachers get together. First question comes out. How many did you have Sunday? I always say, too many. Too many. Not enough. It's too many. I don't deserve that many. They count everybody that drove by. Hey, man, we don't count. I really don't know. We don't count. We don't have the ushers. Ananias and Sapphira are trying to draw attention to themselves. Here's the problem. They drew attention away from the Lord. Look what we did. We had a guy who used to say, came to this church. He said, I read the Bible through every month. So does my son. I go, every month? Yeah, sometimes we do it in a week. I said, do you work? Yeah, that's all I do. I said, you don't sleep? Well. Then one day he leaves, never says anything. I don't know if he's afraid God's going to kill him. I was pretty sure that wasn't true. And another thing, if you do it, don't brag about it. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. They disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men. The fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. In Matthew 23, he tells the Pharisees, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Then he says, even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. You don't have to wonder what God thinks about his glory. He's very jealous of it. And I'm sorry, here's what this story means. If you get in the way of God looking good, he'll take you out of the way. Do you ever wonder why someone died? We say, they were young. Unexpected. So are you judging them? I never said that's why they died. I'm just saying, have you ever wondered? Could be. could be that you and I draw attention away from God. Look what I do, look what I am, look what I can do. In fact, it's amazing in Acts 5 and verse 8, Peter gives Sapphira the opportunity to get things right. Did she rethink this? Are you sure you want to go there? She says in verse 8, yay for so much. Did she know she was lying? Did she know she was lying? Did she know she was lying? Boy, we're stubborn, aren't we? We know we're wrong. We sit in church. Piano plays, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, people are coming forward. We're standing there like we have never even said the word sin. And yet we know. We know. Don't mess with God's glory. Don't mess with God's glory. If you're saved, act like it. Act like Jesus is worth everything that you could give him. Not part of it. All of it. Don't appear to be something. Notice what Peter said, verse 4, and we're done. Look at verse 4. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? You're not going to like it, but I'm going to say it. Every time you sin because you choose to. Devil didn't make you do it. You choose it. You and I, that verse means that you and I have the power not to. I'm not saying they're lost. I believe they were Christians. And I think because of the Holy Ghost, if the Holy Ghost could shake the place where they prayed, I think he could have helped them with victory in their life over that. Trying to look good, talk good, act like everything was good. Pray with me, your head bowed, your eyes closed. Lord, I pray as we leave here tonight, we would not fool ourselves. I pray that we would know for sure we can't fool you. I just want to be a genuine, real Christian. I don't want anybody to think bad of you. I want them to think the very best of you by how I live. I want to give my best. I want to be honest. I want to be real. I want to have integrity. I want to be the genuine article. I don't want people to question or wonder. And they make things up. They do it all the time. But I don't want them to have a reason. I want to be blameless. I don't want them to be able to grab on to anything in my life that would make you look less than you are. And boy, you shut this down right in your own house. Ananias and Sapphira coming to church and they're strutting what they've done. And you just shut that down. Lord, would you just show us tonight so we can confess it and forsake it? Show us if there's an area of our life that we're pretending, an area of our life that is not real, an area of our life that's not genuine or that's hypocritical. Show us, Lord. Show us. We may not want to see it, but show us, Lord, that we'll not just worry about what we appear to be, but that we would say, no, I'm going to be biblical. I'm going to be spiritual. I'm not going to appear spiritual. I'm not going to appear biblical. You said the Father which seeth in secret. May we be humble, knowing that you see everything and that we ought to live according to what you see, not what men see. You told Samuel that. I see what you see, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking at the heart. Lord, may we live so that people see Jesus and applaud him and praise him and run to him because he's so great. They made you look cheap. I don't want to make you look cheap, Lord. I want to make you look like you're worth everything and anything I could give you. Your head bowed, your eyes closed. Can I give you an opportunity? This is going to go so quick. Ready? Head bowed, eyes closed. Preacher, that's me tonight. God's speaking to my heart. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Here's my hand. Here's my hand. Lift it high. Preacher, God's speaking to me. God's speaking to me. God's speaking to me. God's speaking to me. This is between you and God. You're not going to walk this aisle, but you're saying, yeah, God is speaking to me. God is speaking to me. Father, we thank you for your word. We want to live it. We want to be bold about it. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.